Guys, please stand. Looks like you found your seats. Let's do this.
I was buried beneath my shame. Who could carry that kind of weight? It was my tomb till I met you. I was breathing but not alive. All my failures I tried to hide. It was my tomb till I met you. You called my name and I ran out of that grave. Out of the darkness into your glorious day. You called my name and I ran out of that grave. Out of the darkness into your glorious day. Soul. Now your freedom is all that I know. The old made new. Jesus, when I met you, 'cause when you called my name and I ran out of that grave. My sin was heavy, but the chains break at weight of your glory. I needed shelter, I was an orphan. Now you call me a citizen of heaven. When I was broken, you were my healing. Now your love is the air that I'm breathing. I have a future, my eyes are open. When you called my name, I ran out of that grave. Out of the darkness into your glorious day. You called my name and I ran out of that grave. Out of the darkness glorious day.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You guys can go ahead and have a seat. Father in heaven, we just thank you so much. That you have given us a call to come out of darkness and into the glorious light. Father, thank you. I pray that as we continue together this morning, that you would be praised. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. How's everybody doing today? Are we awake? Did we figure out parking? Okay, I hope that we did. Guys, thanks for being so flexible. If I haven't gotten a chance to meet you, my name's Bobby, associate pastor here at Discovery. I'm welcoming you this morning because Pastor John is hanging out with our kids ministry for a little while this morning. He'll be back to preach. But you know, he's the kids pastor too, and so he's spending some time getting to know some of them, which is really cool. I want to make you aware of a few things. First, in regard to parking, if you were confused at all, we have a market that is going to be opening this month in the parking lot we usually use. So we're trying to get ready for that. We're not going to be able to use that parking lot all summer. And so parking is going to be on G Street, and we're going to enter in the G Street entrance. So that's going to kind of be fully in effect next week. We've been transitioning to that this month. So thank you for your flexibility and your graciousness. And if you need any special accommodations, you can literally just come find me or reach out to me, and I'll work with you on that. But we appreciate that. You should have gotten a worship folder when you came in this morning. If you would, right now, this requires some movement, but right now, find that worship folder, open it up, and pull out a connection card. Everybody do that together. It's kind of like a unifying thing to do on a Sunday morning, is to find your connection card, right? You got to start somewhere. Find it, and everybody, if everybody would fill out their name and best contact information, even if you've been here with Discovery worshiping, you know, for 15 years, just fill out your name and best contact information. We're not going to make you turn it in, but just you filling it out as a long-timer will help our guests feel more comfortable to fill it out. And if you're a guest with us, we would really invite you to fill it out. We're not going to spam you with a ton of information. We just want to thank you for coming. We want to answer your questions, and we want you to know that we're going to be praying for you as you seek the Lord and seek a church home. So if you're a guest with us, please fill this out, and then everybody can just turn these in as you leave today. You just drop it in the connection card box, which is at Connection Point, the series of four tables right outside in the foyer, okay? So please, please, please do that. We would really, really appreciate it. The only other thing that I wanted to remind you of is that we're doing something kind of fun today. Anybody know what that is? Oh my gosh, that was really disappointing. We're going to the Rainiers game. Yeah, there we go. We're going to the baseball game. Rain or shine, right? Yeah. All right. Seriously, we got, I'm going to get my numbers a little off here, but we got like 115 tickets and we have like 12 left, and you can still purchase them. So if you haven't purchased a ticket, you can go on your phone to Discovery's website right now to the events page, and you can purchase a ticket until 11:30. At 11:30, that closes. So please jump on there. We have like I said, like 12 tickets left. We want you to come. How much? Whoa, real time. We have 4 tickets left. So really jump on there right now. 3 tickets left. 2 tickets left. Are you lying right now? Jason's messing with me. We want you to come. We want you to hang out. Even if you can't stay all 9 innings, even if you can't come, you know, till the 5th inning, come. Just hang out. We're all going to sit in one section together. It's going to be a great time just fellowshipping together. And that is our first of many summer activities. So you can also pick up one of these if you didn't get one last week. It's kind of a summer calendar so you can know all that's going on with Discovery. I think that's the information that I have for you. Now I want to introduce you to a guest that's going to be coming up here. We're going to play a video first, but we have a guest here that I'm just going to do a little interview with and answer some questions, but let me let the video introduce where she's from.
I got into a relationship in my sophomore year. I had my child at 17 years old. It was definitely mentally and emotionally abusing.
My uncle got involved and he started to sexually harass me. I didn't feel like anyone loved me. I felt alone. I felt depressed.
I am a recovering addict. I didn't see no way out. I wanted no way out. You know, I loved getting high.
She was born addicted to meth. So I don't know what life would have been like for Reagan on the streets or shuffled from one home to the next.
So we would live in a minivan, 7 of us in a minivan. All I was thinking about, like, how am I gonna, like, feed my brothers, and, like, when we were showered behind buildings.
Sammy, who's 5, had 4 open heart surgeries and quite a few other procedures.
I'm very sad, and I don't want to do this. You know, I want a home. I don't want to be homeless with my son. I don't want, you know, send my son with the foster care.
All of Christ helped me to gain that worth and to gain that love. It helped me to find a family that I'm with today. I felt that welcoming spirit from them the moment, like, I saw them.
So all of Christ really believes in
the whole child and the whole family.
When I came here, I felt accepted and I could transform.
I'm Nanny. I do running and I love running for cross country. I play the cello and I do piano.
They embraced me and they, you know, supported me all the way through. Today I know that my kids won't have to go through what I put them through, you know?
So Gabriel not going as strangers. Gabriel not, he's just going just second parents, like grandparents' house. I feel like that, a safe family.
I'm so thankful.
I'm gonna cry.
God still believed in my mom. He never gave up on us. And he wanted us to be a family again. I have my real mom back.
Guest, this is Venice.
Hi. Is this on? Good morning.
Venice is joining us from Olive Crest because this is Foster Care Awareness Month. And so, Venice, just briefly tell us who you are, what you do, and what exactly is Olive Crest?
Yes, my name is Venice Robinson, and I am the Church and Community Engagement Coordinator for Olive Crest. And Olive Crest is a local foster care agency. We have offices here in Tacoma, in Silverdale, in Kitsap County, and in Bellevue. And our goal really is to partner with the local church and those in the community who have a heart for kids and families who are currently in the foster care system. Like the video mentioned, we do provide services for the whole family, so bio families, foster families, and the children, and biological children in the home. We really do try to provide a holistic experience because foster care can be challenging, shocker. But I know.
Amen.
I'm saying that to so many people who are already either currently licensed here in this community or in the process of getting licensed. And so that is a little bit about us as an organization.
Yeah, that's so good. So, you know, there are a lot of ways to serve the body of Christ. There's a lot of ways to serve the world. But one of the things the New Testament tells us in James 1:27 is, as Christians, we are to care for orphans in their affliction. That doesn't mean every family is going to be a foster family, but there's lots of ways to get involved with that work, even if you are not a foster family. So if somebody in the room, we have a lot of foster families in Discovery, if somebody in the room is interested in becoming a foster family or is just interested in supporting foster care ministry, is there a step they could take even today? What would be their next step?
Yeah, absolutely. So we actually have two exciting things coming up.
Woo!
Discovery, you didn't know this yet, but you guys are hosting a really fun event next Sunday.
Yeah, we are.
just for this reason, for people who are currently licensed, families that are currently licensed, we want to celebrate you, have you guys connect. And we also would love anyone who is interested on any level in being more involved in foster care to also attend that. What do we call it, a mixer?
Yeah, let's call it a mixer. I think we called it a reception,
a
but
reception?
I like mixer.
Nah, mixer.
Mixer.
That sounds way more fun, right? Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, come to the mixer next week. But then the other opportunity is we host we call it a Foster Care 101 every month without fail. And this month it is on May 26th. I have a flyer for that. But that's also, again, if you want some more information, our staff is on that Zoom call. We answer literally any questions that you might have regarding becoming licensed, regarding being a volunteer. But we just like to provide that opportunity every month. So if people have questions or are curious, they can attend that. And it's on Zoom, which is really nice. And so it makes it flexible. So I have more information about that as well at the table after service in the lobby.
Yeah, that's so good. And I want to emphasize that she has a table set up out in the lobby across from Connection Point. So she'll stay there.
Yes.
A long time, if needed, just to chat with you. So don't rush out. Go ask her questions. There's no silly question.
No.
It's a big process, and there's a lot of ways to serve. So talk with Venice about that. There's also ways that just churches can get together to support foster families. I will say I'm a foster parent, if you didn't know that. And one thing, just this weekend, there was another church in our community, City Central, that they got together and they said, we're going to provide a family movie night for foster families. And they don't have to go anywhere. We just got to drive through their church parking lot and pick up a basket that had gift cards to Papa Murphy's, that had a gift code to Netflix, or not Netflix,
Netflix to Redbox, had candy and popcorn, and it was just such a blessing. Like, we just had a fun evening at home together as a family for free, and that blesses and builds. So what are some other ways that we, Discovery, as a church family, could come around foster families?
Yeah, absolutely. Like I mentioned, that we choose to work with churches as an agency, and that is a very strategic, intentional decision. And that's because we recognize that foster care can be challenging. It's one of the greatest blessings that someone can enter into. But the reality is that absent of Jesus, it becomes kind of a hopeless reality at times. And so we believe that when we attach our families to local churches, that hope that hope really creates a different environment, not only for the kids, but also for the bio families. And so that's why we love our partnerships with the local church, because they love to encourage our families. They love to encourage the community to get involved. And one of the biggest way we do that is by providing what we call care communities. It's just a wraparound service for our foster families. And the hope of care communities is, again, to provide a community of 6 to 10 people around a foster family as they're walking through this journey, to pray for them every week, to connect with them every week and say, how can we help you? What are some tangible needs that we can meet? Can we bring you a meal? Can we pick up some diapers? Can we do a pickup or a drop-off? Can we mow your lawn, do your laundry? You know, we want the foster families to know that they're not alone in this journey, and that just like it takes a village to raise a child, it takes a village to support a family who walks into foster care, to support that family. And again, to ignite hope and joy into a process that can be scary for kids as they start this journey with their families.
Yeah, that's so good. And so for care communities, if they're interested in that, that's something that you would have to spark and lead and come together, we as a church. So if they're interested in that, they could talk to you at the table today, or just, you don't have to be a foster family. If you're interested in what is a care community, could I be a part of pulling 6 to 8 people together to do that within Discovery? Come to the reception after service next week, because we want to find out who's interested in that and empower you, you know, to go and do that.
Yeah, at All Press, we love to emphasize that everyone can do something. And this is one of the somethings that you can do, whether it's wrapping around a currently licensed family in your church community or participating in fun drives or events with us throughout the year. It really does make a huge impact on the lives that we are serving through Olive Crest.
That's so good. Well, Venice, thank you for being here. We want to pray before we end our time, but any specific thing we should know as a church community about how to pray for foster families or how to pray for Olive Crest?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest things we found out recently is that over 500 people have closed their license in Washington State. And that was kind of jarring for all of us to hear as a staff and as a team. And so just to be praying for the state of foster care for our state, for people to feel called to the ministry of foster care, whether it's to get licensed to do full-time care or respite care or receiving care, it all makes a difference, just to show the state that there are people who are willing to intercede and to create that opportunity for bio families to get connection and resources and get the help that they need. That's probably our biggest prayer right now, is to just encourage more people to become licensed foster parents.
That's so good. That's so good. Well, thank you for being here. I want to pray for you. I want to pray for us. Before I pray, if you have been involved, if you've served as a foster family, if you've adopted, would you stand up right now? Because I want to pray for you and your family. If you have been a foster parent, if you've been involved in adoption, stand up. We can give these people a hand. This is an amazing thing. And again, I can't emphasize enough that it's not just these foster families. It's you, church, coming around these foster families as they serve. So let me pray for you guys. Father, thank you so much for Olive Crest and for Venice and the countless people like her that get phone calls at all hours of the day and night to serve children and families, connect dots between children that need a safe place and families that can provide it. God, I pray that you would bless and empower, and I pray that you would provide more foster families to get licensed, to open their homes, and to serve this need. God, I pray and thank you for the families in our church who have said yes to opening their homes, but also to supporting the families who are able to open their homes. God, we cannot each do everything, but together, God, we can do so much. So much. I pray that you would just give us wisdom to see how to step forward in that. God, most of all, we pray for these children. God, from the littlest among them, God, to the ones that have aged out of the system. God, we know at the end of the day, they need you to rescue them. And you can do that through any circumstance. God, would you bring salvation and redemption and new beginning in the lives of these children? And would you do it for your glory? It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. You guys go ahead and stand, and we're going to sing some more.
You are good. Oh, you are good. Christ to their knees as we rise up in worship. When trials unleash like a flood, the battle belongs to our God as we cry out in worship. Throne stands in it all.
invite you to just remain standing with me. I'm going to have Charles come up here and join me. I think it's appropriate on this morning as we're worshiping and we're talking about calling down heaven. We're talking about battles that are bigger than what we can touch and feel. That we remain in a time of turmoil in our world. Not only are there battles raging across the planet, not only is there a terrible, awful battle in Ukraine, there's ongoing battles in our seats of legislature, and there's battles going on in seats of power and in business. But there's battles going on in our streets. Any of you have been watching the news? It's a recent shooting. It appears that it was racially motivated. We're going to take a few minutes this morning. We're going to pray. That's what the church is called to do. We're called to pray. And so we're going to take a moment. We're just going to pray together. We're going to pray for the raging fire that is raging around the planet. And it looks like it's winning. But as Jesus people, we know that it doesn't end with its victory. It does end with Jesus' victory. And while we are here, we are called to call down heaven. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. May your, everybody, and your on earth as it is in heaven. So today, if just a couple moments before we go into our teaching time, we as one body are going to approach the throne of God with broken hearts, and we are going to ask for heaven to come. Let's pray. You start us.
Father, we thank you for again waking us up this morning and giving us the option to come into your house. Father, we thank you for the mighty gift that you've given each and every one of us, the opportunity to become sons and daughters of God. Father, we reach right now to come to your home humbly, Lord, asking your Holy Spirit to come within this sanctuary and touch the hearts here that we may reach back to you and say, God, your will be done. God, your power is unfailing, as the song has just reminded us, Lord. But we know that the victory is yours, but we know that the battle is still ours to fight as your hands and feet. Father, so touch each and every heart here that we may reach out and pray for those that are affected over this past week, Lord God, and even those in distant lands, Lord God. You did tell us that there will be wars and rumors of wars, but we pray that your will be done sooner rather than later, Lord God. Touch those hearts that are seeking to do destruction, do harm, Lord God, to cause turmoil among your people. But we know, God, if we have been grasped by your hand, nothing can snatch us from your hand. So even as we struggle, even as we mourn, Lord God, losses of life throughout the world, throughout our communities, we know that you are still God. You still sit on that throne, and you still have the victory in your hand. Father, we want to touch those families right now that were affected, that have lost loved ones this week, Lord God.
Yes.
And even the young man that is accused of this crime, Lord God, touch his heart even so.
Yes.
More, Lord God, reach out to him and let him know that you are the one that has the power of life and death.
Yes.
You are the one that control going and coming.
Yes, Lord.
People. Not to the power of some instrument that man has made, Lord God, but by your word you can tell life to become life. And death has no sting, Lord God. You raised our holy Savior, Lord God, out of the depths of the grave, Lord God, and you can do that for anyone, so you choose. But not our will, Lord God, but your will be done on this planet, in this time, Lord God, in this space, Lord God, even in this city, Lord God. Have your way is what we want, Lord God. I want you to have your way over this praying body, Lord God, over this city, over this state, that roam about the streets. And these things we ask in the precious name of Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Father God, we are here this morning as one body, and we want to just acknowledge with heaven, because when we, every one of us, had a moment where we turned and received your incredible grace in our life at that moment, heaven was born in our hearts, and there is a part of us inside, a part of heaven that aches, that we just ache. There's a lamenting, a brokenness, an ache in our soul when we see things, when we navigate through a world that doesn't reflect your heart, your will. Father, I know that right now in this room, there are some men and some women who have a war going on at home. It's a very real war. It's a war that should have never broken out in a marriage between parents and children. And if that's one of you, just this morning, may you just put your hands just quietly toward heaven and say, God, that is me. There's a war in my house. There's a raging one. And forgive me for anything I have done to stoke that war. Father, in Jesus' name, we pray that you would end it, that you bring peace where there has been war. Father, we sit here in a time and a day and age where there's a ravaging, terrible war between neighbors. God, over the last few years, it's just been heightened. There's this, no longer is there just comfortable, beautiful political discourse where we all grow and we're shaped by one another. Instead, it's created great divides in families, and uncles and aunts are separated. Father, brothers and sisters, parents and children, Father, neighbors are separated over all sorts of things that should just be used. We should be sharpening each other. God, forgive us for the war that is set. Father God, we look across the world and we see that, honestly, one nation just rolled tanks and bombs into another. Millions of families and children have fled and have died. God, we pray for your peace in the Ukraine. There's wars right now, God, over important discussions, conversations, protecting the life of unborn and also protecting the abused lives of sometimes young women. Father, we're praying heaven and righteousness would come to enter into this and that your will would play out. And Father, here this week, we watch again just violence, rage. Little store in Buffalo where one race is pitted against another, God, and we just want to say to you, our hearts ache, and we pray, Father, for the families and the communities impacted. We pray for healing. And I know, Father, that on this side of heaven, there will always be some wars here. But we're just praying that you give us the courage to live out heaven here, and that you'd bring courage to Jesus' people in Buffalo, New York, to stand up and be healers, to be voices of healing, and that you'd heal this divide. We will labor through anything that's in front of us. We will. We will labor through difficulty. We will keep our eyes fixed on heaven. We will bear aches and pains here. And in the middle of aches and pains and scars, we will stand and hold our hands to heaven and say, God, you are still God. You are the victory. You are the victory. We will do that here. But while we battle through and labor through the pains, we will still long for and crave for heaven to be played out here. May it happen in our homes, in our neighborhoods, between nations. May there be a peace. May there be peace in our day that is only brought by the submission of the human soul to Jesus Christ. May this happen. In your name we pray. Amen. 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 Thank you, Charles. You may be seated. I want to encourage you to just continue to pray. We sing these songs that are rooted in Scripture. And they are not just little songs that we sing to bring us a little bit of peace. They are truth. The battles that we wage. These are spiritual battles. We're not battling against our spouse or our kids or our neighbors or our cousin or our employees. They're not the battle. We are battling against principalities and powers. Amen? And so our first and foremost thing to do at church is to pray together, to pray individually. I hope that you're praying for your marriage. I hope you're praying for your kids. I hope you're praying for your neighbor. I hope that when you scroll through your news on your phone, that you don't quickly jump to Twitter or to Facebook to make a little post. I hope that instead you jump to your knees, because I want to just encourage you that as a Jesus follower is the most important thing that you can do. I don't know that the world needs another opinion. Man, the world needs another prayer warrior. Would you agree? couple of you agree? Okay, so let's be that people of prayer. And then we live it out. And you're going to get some opportunities to live out grace today. And the things that we do and that we talk about and submitting ourselves to Scripture, it makes a difference. It may not seem like it, but I want you to know that's a lie of the evil one, that your little place in the world, your little corner that God has given you to be responsible over, to bring love and bring heaven, the enemy wants you to think it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you're grace-filled at Burger King today, right? It doesn't matter if you're, you know, grace-filled to your kids or your neighbors. I want you to know that's a lie from the evil one. Living out Jesus' call makes a difference. That's a different sermon. I'm getting kind of hot, so let's dive in because we have some really important things. We're kicking off a brand new series called Rest, and I think it's incredibly important. I read this week that, watch this, 3 out of 5 U.S. adults say they feel more tired now than ever before. Anybody? Should I take a survey and have you guys raise your hands? Maybe not. Maybe some of you are too tired to raise your hands. Okay. 3 out of 5 U.S. adults say they feel more tired now than ever before. In a recent survey, 58% of respondents say they feel unfocused or disjointed and that taking a brief nap isn't even a viable solution. Amen? More than half of the respondents said that no, watch this, more than half of the respondents said no amount of rest helps them feel focused. We are people who are tired and exhausted, and we're in such need of rest. Amen? Amen. So the next 3 weeks, we're going to talk about rest. We're going to talk about God's heart for it. We're going to talk about how to live it out. We're going to talk about how to experience the rest that God designs us for. Now, even as I say that we're in this season, maybe in some ways a little bit unique, I also want to say that while all of this is true, that we're experiencing this and more U.S. adults, yada, 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 I also want to say this very, very clearly. From the beginning of time, human beings have wrestled with rest. It is absolutely not new to 2022. That doesn't diminish the issue, but it hopefully makes you feel a little more comfortable that people before you didn't have it way easier than you. You know, a lot of times we look in the past like, oh, the good old days, right? Wouldn't it have been nice to live on a farm and raise some pigs and have anybody here ever grow up on a farm? Okay, so some farm people here, or some people rural, was that easy living? No. I've never met a farmer in life who's like, oh man, this is like butter, right? We're just coasting here in farmland, right? We live with this myth that other people have it way easier than us. And I want us to just to hear this morning that from the beginning of time, people have wrestled with this notion of, and they've wrestling with this weird quest for rest. In fact, from the beginning to end of your Bible is this concept of rest, where we hear all the way through Scripture God's design for rest, how God has woven it into the universe. We see in Scripture God's invitation, God's command, and even through Scripture we see our constant pushing away of rest, the rest that we need. Let me just read a few scriptures here to kind of give us an overview here. In Genesis chapter 2, the very beginning of the Bible, it says, on the seventh day, God had finished the work that he had been doing, and so on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day, and he made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. In the second book of the Bible, the book of Exodus, God gives a promise, an invitation to rest. In Exodus 33, God says, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. In fact, in the Big Ten, anybody know what the Big Ten is? Yeah, the Big Ten Commandments, right? Tucked in the middle of the Ten Commandments, it says this, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work. the Bible talks about the pressures in the world, how the whole world is in upheaval and fights against rest. Paul writes about this in the book of Romans. He says, we know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Paul says the entire world is fighting against rest. Jesus says we do in our own souls. He says, what good will it be for someone to gain the whole world and yet forfeit their very soul? Or what can someone give in exchange for their soul? Jesus says men and women trade the rest of God all the time for trinkets, and they wake up with a vacuum in their soul, empty and tired. I think the prophet Isaiah perhaps says it the best when he says, this is what the sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel, says, in repentance and rest is your salvation. Makes you hear it again. The prophet Isaiah says, this is what God, the sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel, says, in repentance and, what's the word? Rest is your salvation, and in quietness and trust is your strength. And then he closes with this, but you would have none of it. You crave rest, you talk about it, you complain about it, but you run away from the very rest that you need. One of my fears in 2022 is that while we are experiencing exhaustion, we're blaming the wrong things. We're blaming our boss. Blaming our clients. We're blaming our employees. Blaming our professors. Blaming our schools. We're blaming our government. We're blaming COVID. Anybody? We're blaming our kids. And while all of that may play a part in the exhaustion that you are feeling, Scripture tells us over and over and over again that the real culprit is the missing soul rest that God has designed you and me to experience. The real culprit is you and I missing the soul rest that Jesus has intended for us to experience and that Jesus has provided for us a cure. I'd like you to turn with me into the book of Matthew. This morning we're going to camp out here for a few minutes. And we're going to look at, we're going to read and hear an incredible, provocative declaration and an invitation that Jesus gives. So if you have your Bible, open to Matthew 11 and then just keep your thumb there. And we're going to look at this. This is actually irrelevant and it's incredible and it's also provocative. Matthew 11, starting in verse 25, it says, at that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned, and you revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you are pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father. No one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Verse 28, Jesus says this, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you, everybody, rest. Verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find, everybody, you'll find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Jesus is making a provocative, revolutionary declaration, okay? He's declaring something to be true. And I want you to write this down. I want you to type this in your phone. Even if you don't have your phone out, pull your phone out for this. This is a declaration that Jesus is making. Are you ready? It's very simple. Rest is real. It exists. There is a very real thing called rest that has been designed for you, that is intended for you, and that you can experience. Jesus is declaring this. He wants you to know that rest is not a figment of your imagination. It's not something that people in the old days had. It's not something that people experience who are richer than you or poorer than you or live on the other side of town from you. It is something that you have been designed by God to experience each and every day of your life. And not only does Jesus make this declaration, he also makes it an invitation. He says, you can actually do something about it today. You can take a step today into the intended rest that God has for you. And he gives a three-part invitation. Number one, the rest that your soul longs for, the rest that you crave, is found in surrendering your will to his. Verse 29, after declaring that there's a real thing called rest, Jesus says, I want you to take my, what's the word up there? Is it up there? Third word, take my what? Take my yoke. Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. This is a really odd thing for Jesus to bring up when we're talking about rest. I mean, the last thing that you want to hear about is yoke. Now, I know in 2022, we don't talk about yokes very much. We don't see them very often, but without going into a long explanation of a yoke, let's just explain it this way. A yoke is an instrument to get some work done. Okay? Jesus says, hey, there's a thing called rest, and here's what you need to do. Get some work done. Well, it's not just an instrument to get some work done. This is how the work gets done. A yoke is an instrument that a powerful, creative, strong animal has to submit to so that the hands of the master can lead that powerful, creative force to do things that are purposeful, focused, and make a difference in the world. Jesus is saying here, the issue is that you are not surrendering to the hands and direction of the master. You are stuck in what I call the in-between. You guys know what the in-between is like. Have you ever been stuck in a decision? Have you ever had to make a decision to say yes or to say no? Anybody? Maybe some of you are in a decision right now. And you know that if you're in the middle, you're in the in-between, between yes and no, right and left, you know that that place is exhausting. I split exhausting up in a weird way, but let's just say it again. Is exhausting. Star, amen? Amen. Like, you're making the pros and cons list. You talk to people and Star's like, hey, what should I do? And they're like, hey, make a pros and cons list. You said, I did that 5 times, and I'm still exhausted. It's miserable between yes and no. Is that fair? It's exhausting. Jesus isn't talking merely about making a specific decision. He's talking about you being unwilling to surrender to the will of God. This miserable place between your will and God's will is exhausting. Between surrendering to God's direction and your desires is exhausting. God's intent is for you to be free. Psalm 86, the psalmist writes this. He says, teach me your way, Lord, that I may rely on your faithfulness. Give me an undivided heart, that I may fear your name. Jesus says the source of the exhaustion in the human soul is this divided heart that you're wrestling with. This is why when someone came to Jesus and said, what's the greatest commandment? You guys remember this? Love the Lord your God with all. What's the greatest commandment? Jesus said, love the Lord your God with, what's the word? All, with an undivided heart, you go all in, you step underneath the yoke of the master and say, as you will, I go. As you desire, I decide. I'm stepping under your will. I'm loving you with all of my heart, soul, and mind. Every part of me is surrendering to you. And Jesus says, this is the absolute source of rest. As long as you battle against the will and heart of God, you will remain unrested and exhausted. Why does God want this for you? Is it because God wants to control your every move? No, it's because he loves you. Jesus said in John 10, he said, the thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. And you know how he steals and kills and destroys in 2022? He says, God's not for you. Do it your own way. You don't need God in his ways. And he steals life. The thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. Jesus says, I came that you might have life and you would have it to the full. Where have you not surrendered to the desire and direction of the Father? That is the source of your exhaustion. Where have you not surrendered to the direction and desire of the Father? That is the source of your exhaustion. The second invitation that Jesus brings us, he says, rest is found also in his designed mission for me. Very next verse, verse 30, he says, for my yoke, he goes back to this yoke, he says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I've struggled with this for a long time, this easy part. Anybody? Anybody ever bump into this verse before and you're like, what in the world? I mean, are there some people out there are living the butter life? All right, are there some people that it's just, what does he mean by this? And I came across someone this last week that helped me so much, William Barclay. He did a little study on this, and he said a better translation of the word easy is well fit. He said that the best translation is not easy, it's well fit. And he goes on to say that there is a legend about Jesus. Now, remember, I'm going to tell you this. This is not in your Bible. This is a legend, but it's really good, okay? So Mr. Barclay says that there's been this ongoing legend about Jesus that in the in-between years, the years we don't know much about, you know, between like 5 and 30 in Jesus' life, when he was supposedly a carpenter in Nazareth, right? It says, the legend goes that Jesus was a great carpenter, and the thing that he was the best at is he was the best at carving, watch this, yokes. That people from all over would come to this carpenter's shop in Nazareth to get these well-carved yokes because they fit so well. They were perfectly designed for the back of each individual ox, and they didn't mar or scar or chafe in any way. And so and then he says, isn't that interesting? That the same Jesus who maybe carved out yoke for the back of oxen has carved out particularly a specific particular mission and yoke for your life. I want to be clear here that work is not the enemy of rest. In fact, in Exodus 20, which we read about before, this is in the Big Ten, the commandment to rest. Let's just look at verse 6. It says, 6 days you shall... That's a terrible way to start. Anybody? Does this ever bother any of you? We're like, I like the second half of the command. The second half is to chill, but the first half of the command is the 6 days you shall. Yeah, you don't even want to say it, do you? God's not saying the enemy's work. Watch this. The enemy is not the work. The enemy is the wrong work. Or even the right work done the wrong way. I brought my boots. They look terrible. But I thought, that's okay. I love these boots. I love to hike. I love to hunt. And I even work in these. Now, I want you to know, it took me a long time to find these boots. My wife went for me on several different ventures. She had to leave the store and go hang out in the car. It drove her nuts. True? True story. You can ask her. I tried on multiple boots, multiple places. I had to find the right boot for my foot. Not only did I have to find the right boot for my foot, I had to basically, I used to have five kids. I sold one of them so I could afford one of these boots. That's a joke, but almost. It almost happened. I spent a lot of money to get the perfect boot for my specific foot. Then I had to break it in for a season until it fit my foot and only my foot. Now, I can work all day long in these boots. I can walk miles and miles and miles in the woods in these boots, and it is awesome. Now, can I work in somebody else's boots? I absolutely can. If I'm in a pinch, I can borrow Mike's boots. I can put them on, and I'll work for a little bit, right? I could borrow Scott's boots for a day, and I could go hiking. I wouldn't get very far. What would happen? Anybody? Yeah, about a mile into it, I'd be like, this is the worst thing I've ever done. And my feet would be blowing up, and my feet would be torn up, and I'd have to sit down, and I'd have to go back. Listen, there is a carefully crafted yoke for you. And for only you. A specifically designed mission. Look at this in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. I want you to hear it. We are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Listen to that. You're not an accident. The God of the universe created you. He shaped every part of you. You have a unique mission. If you still have breath in your body, he's not done with you. My friend, you are likely exhausted because you're not stepping into the unique mission that God has for you. Or if you had, you've stepped into it and you're carrying it in the wrong way. The yoke that Jesus has for you is restful because it's well fit for you. He has work for you to do. Maybe costly, stressful, difficult, challenging work, but it's made for you. And if you step into it, you will find rest. Amen? Let's go on to number three. Number three is perhaps the most important part, and I've skipped over verse 28, but I want to go back there because I think it's maybe the most important part of this entire declaration that Jesus makes. In verse 28, Jesus says simply, come to me. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. The rest that your soul needs, the soul rest that you so deeply crave, that you were designed by God to experience and walk in, is found, watch this, only in nearness to Jesus himself. In John 14, 6, it won't be up here on the screen, but you might write it down. John 14, 6, Jesus says, I am the way. I am the way and the truth. And I love the third one. He says, I am the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. The real rest that your soul requires, the real rest that your soul is designed to experience, is found in an intimate relationship with God. And that can be experienced, watch this, listen carefully, it can be experienced even in the midst of great chaos in your world. Luke records a moment in Jesus' life and ministry where he was invited to a home. And you can imagine inviting Jesus to your home, can't you? I know it's 2022, and we're like, well, I always invite Jesus to my home, okay? But you can imagine Jesus here walking around the planet, you know, feet in sandals. Jesus, you guys, can you imagine that? And can you imagine getting the opportunity to host Jesus in your house? Are you there? What would you clean first? Toilet? Dad would be toilet? Toilet first. Somebody else. What's the next thing you'd clean? Anybody? The kitchen. You'd clean the kitchen. Somebody else. Anybody vacuum? The first thing I do is vacuum. I hate a dirty floor, right? And you can probably then think of a whole list. Man, before Jesus comes here, we're painting the front porch. In fact, before Jesus comes here, we're getting rid of all the junk in the front yard. P.S. That includes your broken down car, husband, right? We're going to, you know, you think of an entire list of things that have to be done, right? You'd be thinking about the right spread on the table. You'd be thinking about, oh, man, we can't just give Jesus Twinkies, right? We're going to have to make them zingers, and I can't find zingers anymore. So, I mean, you would go, you would do the best. You would find Popeye's chicken, you'd find corn on the cob and zingers, and you'd do everything possible to make this great thing. Am I, you guys with me now? I lost you in zingers, didn't I? Okay. Jesus gets invited over to this house, and they're so incredibly honored to have Jesus show up. And they're working, they're sweating. They're doing, watch this, listen careful, they're doing good work. Good work. Same kind of good work that you do. You do good work. I know you. You do good work. You work hard. You work hard for your family. You work hard to serve people in your neighborhoods, in your schools. You do good work. They're doing good work. Jesus shows up. There's two sisters there. One's Mary and one's, anybody know the story? Martha. As Jesus shows up, just like any good work, we'll be real honest, just like any good work is never done. Amen? Amen? Good work's never done. That doesn't matter to me if you're building a house, right? Or you're putting together software, right? Or you're preparing a lesson to teach some kids. Good work is never done. Amen? Amen? Never done. It's never done. And so Jesus shows up and it's not yet done. But one of the sisters is like, oh, Jesus is here. Get rid of the boot. She pulls up and she sits down right at the feet of Jesus. And Jesus is talking, sharing. I imagine he's telling jokes. It's a grand time. Now Martha is still involved in the good work. And she's coming in and out of the kitchen with Popeyes, corn, zingers, right? Every time she walks by, she just kind of gives Mary a little nod, right? First there's a smile, and then the smile leaves. Eventually she just bumps Mary, you know, maybe with the shoulder. Maybe she drops a zinger. Oh, oops. You know, she's doing all the, like, you know what I'm talking about. You've been there, right? It's just inside, it's just bubbling up. And it bubbles up so much in Martha that eventually she can't take it, and she watches this. She interrupts Jesus and the little group, and she says, Jesus, could you please tell my sister to help me? We're doing something good. Now, I want you to hear what Jesus says. Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed. Indeed, only one. And Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. The work that Martha was doing was not bad work. It was good work. But she had surrendered her first call to be in an intimate relationship with the Father through Jesus Christ, his Son. Jesus promised in Matthew chapter 6, he said, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Friends, you do good work. The work isn't the enemy. Surrendering your time daily with Jesus has become your enemy. You are designed not to produce, but you are designed for his presence. So first and foremost, guard your time with him. David writes in Psalm chapter 16, he says, you make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Jesus made a provocative and incredible, relevant declaration that rust is real. The exhaustion that you feel, I think, is the Holy Spirit stirring you right now. The exhaustion, the tiredness that you feel is not merely a consequence of a terrible boss or a terrible situation or awful management of balancing work life. I want to suggest to you this morning that the exhaustion that you feel is something that God may be using to draw you back to Himself. That you have been designed to find pleasure and fulfillment in His presence. Now, it certainly starts with inviting Jesus into your life. And if you're here this morning, you've never asked Christ to come into your life. In the next couple of moments, we're going to have a moment of prayer, and that would be the place to start. But so many of you in this room, I know you. I know that you're Jesus followers. And I also know you're exhausted. I'd like you to take a minute during this prayer time and maybe consider a couple of questions. One, is there an area in your life that you haven't surrendered to the will of the Father? Are you in the in-between? And I would invite you today to say, no matter what, I surrender to you. You may be here this morning and you've been struggling with your design mission. Maybe for a few moments you might say, Jesus, would you help me? This week, this next month, I want to step into your mission, the one you've designed for me, the yoke that you've carefully carved out for me. Or I think that probably many of us in this room are doing the best kind of work we could do, that we've been forfeiting the presence of God in our lives. Come to me, Jesus says, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. So I say that we heed his request, and we actually come to him right now. So if you would you bow with me? And let's take a step toward him. I'm not going to say anything else for a minute. I'm just going to let you do the business that you need to do. There's some business that needs to happen here in this room. This whole thing it's mind-blowing that as the sovereign Lord, maker of heaven and earth, the creator God, holy, perfect, that you would care so deeply about the imperfect, stubborn, obstinate creatures that we are, and that your longing for us would be to experience and walk in rest. That's amazing. And we know it, and we want it, and we crave it, yet we have constantly pushed you away. I'm praying that in this room this morning that you would give some men and women courage to today lay down their will and step under the yoke. It's not the yoke that controls. It's that surrender of that powerful creation who says, I surrender to the yoke and the gentle, tender tugs of the master. I want that. I want the master to be in charge. I pray for some men and women to courageously surrender to your will. Not just to your will, but to your mission. Too many of us, like Jonah, have spent a lifetime running away. I pray for some courage to run toward your mission. And ultimately, at the heart of your invitation is that we would draw close to you. We would not find our security, our success, our definition by things that we do. But like Mary, that we choose what is good by basking in your presence, even in the chaos. Thank you for a few minutes in your word. I look forward to the days ahead where some men and women in this room step into rest like never before. Breathe freedom here in Jesus, we pray. Amen. We're going to sing a song here in closing. I'm going to have a couple people up here to pray. If you want to come and pray, Charles is going to be here. I think Bobby's going to be available. Tad's going to be up here. I think Barb might be here. Jamie might be here. If you need to pray with somebody, come on down. And during our song and even afterwards, they'll be available here to pray with you. Lead us, please. Women who walk through a world that is groaning like it's in the pains of childbirth. And yet you planted heaven. You planted seeds of heaven in the midst of an incredible chaotic storm. You did it in the heart and soul of men and women. And then you invited us to just walk calmly through the storm and be a testimony to a raging world that there's life, there's breath, there's hope, and it is found only in Jesus. And so I pray that our lives, though they may be encompassed by a storm, there might be raging waters seeking to slam and sink this boat. I pray that we might, like you, rest in the front of the boat on a pillow and know that our God, our God, our God wins. We rest in your victory. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and my cup, it runneth over. Surely your goodness and your mercy shall follow us all the days of our life as we dwell in the house of the Lord, at his feet, at his presence forever. For there is joy and gladness and pleasures forevermore. May we walk it. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you for sharing your Sunday morning with us. Let me remind you not to hurry up.
That if there are any tickets left, but I think they all went fast, we've got like 5 minutes before it's closed and Kirsten's out there. So if there's any left, see her, right? Is that right, Bobby? All right, God bless you guys. Have a great week. Oh, don't forget to drop your connection card on the way out. Please don't forget to drop your connection card.